So we read from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verses 94 to 99. So we do the recitation for 99. I just read through until 99. Yadyapi Krishna Sundaya Madhuriya Durya Vraja Diviya Sangi Tandra Padaye Madhurya. Although Krishna's unparalleled beauty is the topmost sweetness of love of God, his sweetness increases unlimitedly when he is in the company of the gopis. Consequently, Krishna's exchange of love with the gopis is the topmost perfection of love of God. This is just a few lines for forth. Vaishnava Prabhupada. Krishna and his devotees become perfectly intimate in conjugal love of God. In other mellows, the Lord and the devotees do not enjoy transcendental bliss as perfectly. The next verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.6 will illustrate this. 95. Tatra teso sobe tabe bhagavan devaki sutta maje maninam haimanam mahamara karto yata. Although the son of Devaki, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all pleasure, of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he nonetheless becomes more beautiful, for he resembles the Marakata jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels. 96. Prabhu kaihi sadhya dhavahi sunischaya Kripa kare kaha yadi angi kichuya kichuhaya. Lord Chaitanya replied, "This is certainly the limit of perfection. But please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more." 97. Raya kai hara aghi puchi han inagani Ita dina nai jani achai bhavani. Roy Ramananda replied, "Until this day, I did not know anyone within the material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service." 98. Ihara mari radara prema Sadhya Siromani Hanyahara Mahima Sarva Sastriti Vakhani. Among the loving affairs of the gopis, Ramananda Rai continued, Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna, for Sri Krishna, is the topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all revealed scriptures. So we at 99. Yata Radha Priya Vishnus Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopiso Saivaika Vishnu Ayanta Valava Yata Radha Priya Vishnus Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata sarva gopesu sai vaika Vishnu anyanta valava Yanta Valava, very dear. See, in this translation, we can note a special word alone. In this text, Eka, alone, Srimati Radharani, alone, is in the topmost position of being very dear to Krishna. And her kund. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. Please repeat. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, our bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. This verse from the Padma Puran and is included in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita 2.1.45 by Srila Rupa Goswami. It also appears in the Adi Lila chapter 4, verse 2.1.5, and again in the Madhya Lila 18, verse 8. So, thank you all very much for allowing me to render this service. In this service of hearing and speaking of the subject matter of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that it is very beneficial for the speaker. It is very beneficial for the listener, and it is also very beneficial for the general audience. So this subject matter is a revelation Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is breaking down this the doors of this Krishna Prema, love of God, and is distributing it freely, so that the living entity can benefit. The question being asked, why does Lord Krishna come? The answer is so that he can attract the living entities. If he is able to attract them, and they delight on his activities and pastimes, then it is very beneficial for them. But in some cases, for the living entity, it is a very difficult thing, extremely difficult, because for so many lifetimes, the living entity is being influenced, is captivated due to bad association, time factor, in so many different circumstances that cause him to be influenced by something, the things that is, in one sense, different from Krishna. And he's captivated, he's allured, because there is some notion, either he have arrived at it by himself or others have given him this notion that he can become the enjoyer and the controller. So because of this fact, so this is very attractive to the living entity. Why? Because the living entity is by nature Anandamaya Vyasati, he is an enjoyer. So being in this position is very, very attractive to the living entity. And he's been doing this for many, many lifetimes. And he has no way out of this entanglement. Although this endeavor again and again and again and again caused him only suffering. Yet and for all, because of these factors that he's an enjoyer, and because his natural tendency is to enjoy, he has no other choice. But if somehow or the other he can begin to hunker up after the association of the Lord, the service to the Lord. Ordinarily, he does hanker after the Lord, because the living entity in no way can fulfill his desires without the help of the Lord. He's completely dependent on the Lord. And from time to time, in spite of his demonic tendency, he is still aware that he requires other forces in order to enable him to fulfill his different desires. So these other forces is actually the representation of the Supreme Lord. Although he, due to his extreme demonic tendency, may not want to accept straightforwardly that it is God who has to function in this way in order to fulfill my desires, Krishna. But nevertheless, the living entity, even after his desires has been fulfilled, he's completely in forgetfulness of what his gratitude and who his gratitude should be to allowing him, to facilitating him to achieve this position of enjoyment. Either as controller or enjoyer in whatever different ways. So when the living entity somehow or the other comes to this position that he needs to hunker after the service of Krishna, and he begins to receive that mercy through the association of the devotees, then he begins to recognize the unimportance of the material things. And that he should simply accept these material things only as much as is necessary. And beyond what is necessary, beyond that, he should simply be striving for engagement in the service of the Lord. Why should he be doing that? Because it is his natural position as a servitor. He has no better position. All his endeavor in life, whether he achieves some kind of a so-called position as an enjoyer or a controller, he is still subjected to this law of servitude. He's still serving others. And if he give up this service attitude to others, he will be dethroned from that position. Nobody wants him. It's like our best position is to be the president of a country or a king. But if you're in that position and you're not functioning in a way to please those who think that somehow or the other you're meant to serve them, then they'll find a way to get rid of you from that position because you're not giving pleasure to them. So in either position, we find in the material world, either in the position as master or servant, everyone is being driven by this desire to be in this position as the enjoyer. So, but Krishna consciousness, on the other hand, is directing the living entity whereby he can become absorbed in this service attitude to Lord Krishna. But in order to do that, he has to come in contact with the devotees. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have been taught to take shelter of the spiritual master, and specifically in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we are more or less followers of Rupa and Raghunath, and it is our duty to try to understand the path of devotion and service, this path of devotion and service through what they have said about devotion and service. And Srila Prabhupada in his book has elaborated on these points. And if we somehow or the other is able to tap into these resources of what these Rupa and Raghunath has left behind, we'll see that all of Srila Prabhupada's writings is very much consistent with what these acharyas are saying. So we can see that Prabhupada was not just some self-manifest acharya. He just was doing his own thing. He was following these acharyas. And these acharyas, Rupa and Raghunath, they are specifically being empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is delivering this path by which the living entity can again become situated in his constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna. So in this song, we see that Nartam Das Thakur, he's saying that when with great eagerness I'll study this book. This eagerness is a very important quality for us in Krishna consciousness. If we're able to somehow the other, the living entity is able to cultivate this eagerness, this cultivating is a very important posture that we have to accept in order to develop the understanding of Krishna consciousness, because it's a step-by-step process, it's a gradual process. We have to advance, is one, and we have to get rid of anarthas or contaminations within our heart, which is there for many, many, many lifetimes. Not only that it is just there for many, many lifetimes, but for many, many lifetimes we were influenced by these anarthas and we felt very confident about them. So it is the position that we have to take in our progress in Krishna consciousness to become very eager. When we become very eager about something, we find that we are willing to take whatever the measures may be to achieve that thing. When we are not very eager, we have alternatives, then we find that we're not very eager and we're willing to make changes. So this eagerness is very much helpful. Greedy enthusiasm in devotional service. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, being unchangeable, he descends into this material world. He has no cause. But out of his causeless mercy, he does so simply to attract the living entity. By attracting the living entity to his service, then the living entity is again situated in his constitutional position. So this is, although the Lord is completely self-satisfied, yet and for all, he would perform these activities for the benefit of the living entity. It is not that the Lord wants some gratification out of it, but the living entities benefit from this, because there is no other alternative. Like sometimes we hear, making the statement, telling people that you just have to depend on the Lord. And then they're saying, but if, why? And they're making all these excuses. So when you turn the question back and then around and you says, well, if you don't depend on the Lord, who can you depend on? Who can we depend on? We sometimes make a joke out of it and it says, well, sometimes the persons you considering that you can depend on, even a little mouse sometimes run between their foot and they're jumping up in the air. So how much can you depend on these people? So besides the Lord, the living entity has no one else to depend on. He is alone, but due to this condition that he's experiencing, what is called identity crisis, he's identifying with the material body. He feels that he's in the company of so many other persons, and they can be of help to him. But in reality, the living entity is alone. And his only friend is the Lord. But due to this identity crisis, he is unable to look within, and he is using the senses to look out rather than to use the senses to look in, to identify himself and to identify his real friend, the Lord. And when he is subdued in critical circumstances, the living entity, he would in turn think of, sometimes you hear people considering the fact that, what have I done to God for me to be in this kind of suffering? In this way, it is being presented as though, like the Lord, has nothing to do other than to inflict suffering upon the living entity. The Lord has no room to engage in such activities because he's self-satisfied. Because of the fact that he's self-satisfied, he has no interest in inflicting suffering on the living entity. Rather, his interest is how to make us happy. How to make the living entity happy. But the living entity, because of this identity crisis, he is somehow or the other thinking that he's a material body. And the senses and the paraphernalia around this body, they are meant for his enjoyment. So when he's able to come to that, come to his senses through the association of the devotees, then the living entity can understand that his real endeavor is to try to understand the sweetness of the Lord. What is this thing makes the Lord happy? What is this something that makes the Lord happy? So the question will ask that, why should I be concerned about someone else's happiness other than my own? It is the fact that self-preservation is the first law, and every embodied being is more interested in his own happiness more than anyone else. And all his interest in others, about others being happy, about others' happiness, is all in reality about his own happiness. Just like a leader is concerned about his subjects, so that if the subjects is acting appropriately, then he be having all the credit as being the best leader. It's all about himself. So why should we be so concerned about the Lord and not ourselves? So the answer is the Dharmasya Sukhasya Kantikasya Cham, that the Lord is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So if you're thirsty and you need water, you need to go where the water is. You need to be in the river. Yeah? You need to go to the well. You need to go where water is, and in this way you will quench your thirst. So, and as Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, that the purpose that can be served by many wells, all that purpose can be served by a big reservoir of water. So, Krishna is like that reservoir, this constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So, we, the living entity, as pleasure seekers, if we take shelter, try to understand what makes him happy, and try to facilitate or function as instrument in that way to make him happy, then without any separate endeavor, without any desiring any personal benefit for ourselves, we will be benefited. But because of this snare of illusion that we're still thinking, the living entity just still thinking that he is this body, he's thinking that in order for he to serve Krishna in the lower stage of religious life, in order for one to be motivated, in order to perform religious activities, then he has to be offered some bonus. You know, if you do this worship, you get this. If you do that, you get this. If you perform this austerity, you benefit in this way. And and if that is not being said, then he has no interest, because he has no, there's nothing to benefit himself. But in the highest stage of devotional service, we see that all this gradually deteriorates. And the only thing stand clear is that where is Krishna's happiness? So Krishna's happiness manifests in the form of Srimati Radharani. This is the person that makes Krishna most happy. Most happy. He's self-satisfied, he's Atmarama, and he could be happy anywhere and in any circumstance. But he's most happy in the association of Srimati Radharani. So, when the living entity is able to recognize this fact, what makes Krishna happy, and he take it upon himself, has his nature as a servant to simply act in that way, to fulfill his propensity as a servant, to simply serve Krishna in that way, to make Krishna happy, then the living entity finds that all his anxiety completely subsides. He no longer has anxieties. All his desires is being fulfilled. We have desires, But in the material world, the desires can never be fulfilled. For whatever we desire is accompanied by so many distress. And is generally, it is not what we are bargaining for. Anything you see in the material world that you desire, you will see that these things is accompanied by so many other things, but you don't bargain for them. You only wanted that little desire to be fulfilled. You only wanted money, but in order to get money, you have to get protection for that money. You have to work so hard for that money. But that's not all. That's not what you really wanted. You only wanted the money. You only want, just say a person in the beginning, in our youth, we only wanted to engage in sex life, but sex life means getting married. Getting married means getting children. Getting children means more work, getting a bigger house, getting so much. So we don't bargain for all these things. We only wanted that little thing that gives me that enjoyment. But so much things has to come behind, so much suffering. But all these desires is being completely satisfied when we find satisfaction in the service to Lord Krishna. And this is the position of the living entity. His only desires is meant to serve the Lord. So, when the living entity recognizes his good fortune to be in that association of devotees to render devotional service, he must understand what is the benefits of devotional service. What is the real benefit of devotional service? What should I expect by rendering this devotional service? That is, the real benefit of devotional service comes to the proper recipient. And what is it? That he becomes increasingly attracted to Krishna. Increasingly attracted to Krishna. The more you render devotional service, the more we ought to become more and more attracted to Krishna. And our position is simply to be that instrument to give pleasure to Krishna. There's one purport where Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, part of the purport, third canto, 3:15. He says, the devotees and associates of the Lord are completely surrendered souls. Thus, they are transcendental instruments in the hands of the Lord, and can be used in any way the Lord desires. Any nice statement Prabhupada is making here. They can be used in any way the Lord desires. Not the devotee desire, but the Lord desire. It says, the pure devotee also enjoys such pastimes of the Lord because they want to see him happy. The devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. On the contrary, they utilize their individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord. And in this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord, make the perfect scene of the Lord's pastime. This very nice, very nice, wonderful presentation Prabhupada is making here. As to how we are to direct this propensity we have within us, natural propensity of desire as a living entity, is to direct this propensity in such a way that it simply enhances the Lord's happiness, be as an instrument to enhance the Lord's happiness. And this gives great satisfaction to us as living entities. So I guess we can stop here. Is there any questions or comments?
you very much for your class. A couple of things just came to my mind when the verse was read about how Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Lord Krishna. So I was remembering that one of the, because sometimes devotees, maybe female devotees more, will think, how come she's the only one that is able to please him? And there's sometimes some devotees have a little bit of sense of envy towards her. But for me, that was pacified by the learning that she is his Swarup Shakti, that when he's Atmarama, he's Atmarama because she's inside of his heart, giving him all pleasure. And then when he desires to enjoy bliss by exchanging with other personalities outside of himself, she expands from his left side and begins to, and her name is Radha because she runs after him with an intense desire to give him pleasure. The fact that she's a Swarup Shakti means, someone gave the example once of, it was as if we were able to produce from ourselves a perfect consort who, because they came from us, knew all our desires without us having to say anything. They knew everything we wanted ahead of time. So she is that personality that knows ahead of time everything he wants because she is him. They say they're inseparable, like musk and its scent, like fire and its heat. They're inseparable. So she knows everything he wants. And then because she's a Swarup Shakti, she has all these potencies, the external potency, the jiva, the tatashta shakti potency, etc. And so she starts to produce everything that's produced in the entire creation is her and then Balaram from the left side producing in order to fulfill Krishna's pleasure. And that we are also have a connection with her because she is produced, between her and Balaram, they've produced us to also be part of that, giving pleasure to Krishna. And I was thinking how wonderful it, and in the verse it was saying that never, Ramanand Roy says, never before has anyone asked to this limit, that we're so fortunate in this Kali Yuga, that this is the one out of 1,000 Kali Yugas in Brahma's life that we get to hear about her before that Lord Chaitanya brings this to us, and the holy name that he brings is the Yugal Nam that includes her, whereas other Kali Yugas, the bhakti that persons can achieve can only go up to Vaikuntha, but we actually have this incredible opportunity. And that Prabhupada, perfect servant of Lord Chaitanya, he established Radha Krishna deities everywhere. And I've heard that this form of Krishna standing in tree Banga is only manifested for Srimati Radharani. It shows his complete enchantment with her because she's so sweet. It's in some book that tells all of her qualities, and she says when it comes to her sweetness, she's so sweet that his mind can't hold the sweetness, so his head kind of tilts, and his body can't, he can hardly hold it. Well, anyway, he can hardly keep his balance because of her sweetness, so he has to put his leg to balance himself. And also the fact that why did he cross that leg, not the other leg? It's because he's pointing towards her, and his head is bent with his peacock feather also going towards her. Just some things that popped into my mind about Srimati Radharani.
Yes, very nice presentation. And one of the things that was playing in my mind while you were speaking in the beginning, when you asked that question, when you mentioned it, sometimes people ask why it is that the Srimati Radharani alone is in that topmost position. I felt basically that that's such a wonderful thing. Because if I get to know who is that person in that topmost position that pleases Krishna, that's such a wonderful thing for me, because that's the avenue I'm looking for. That's the door. Because now I can get an opportunity to serve him through that person, whereby I can get his attention. But sometimes because we have these tendency to become envious, be unable to recognize that or real good fortune that, yes, wow, I really get to know somebody that can really, it can really give me that opportunity, give me the best thing in my whole existence. That is the opportunity to please Srimati Radharani, because as soon as we please, Srimati Radharani, Krishna becomes a piece of cake. Because if Radharani says, this servant here, somehow or the other, they did something and I'm very pleased about it. Krishna got no other choice. Yeah, sure, that's right. Yeah. He's a good servant. He can say, on the other hand, well, I don't like his head, you know, he did me something in the past so wrong. He can't say that. You know, he has to accept that. So it's such a wonderful opportunity that we can, yes, that we come in contact with Srimati Radharani and we get to know about her. And it is our best position to more and more cultivate and hanker after this position as being instruments, as to engaging in the service in such a way that somehow or the other, we will get her attention. And she become favorably disposed toward us. Any other questions? Well, we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.